Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Draft coverage on WEEI is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the home heating oil delivery and HVAC pros at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee, and by McCormick Grill Mate Seasoning.
You wouldn't be the first quarterback from Michigan to wind up in New England if it happened to go that way.
Yeah.
What would that mean to you? And has Tom Brady had any advice for you during this process? Has anybody reached out, like, along those lines?
You know, Tom and I have a great relationship. I asked him questions all throughout the season and stuff like that. I try not to bother him too much. You know, I asked Matthew Stafford a little bit of advice about this process, and he told me that, you know, he's a little far removed from it because it happened so long ago, so I didn't even bother to ask Tom. But it would just, you know, such honor and respect, like I said, like being able to, I'm always about playing for the guys that came before and, you know, the guys who built the foundation to where it is right now. So obviously being a part of the New England Patriots, that means everything, you know, going back to when Brady was playing and how he was, you know, doing it for Teddy Bruschi and Willie McGinnis and Ty Law and all those guys. So being able to pay that forward would be a tremendous honor.
J.J. McCarthy on the Adam Schefter podcast yesterday. We reacted to this yesterday. Arcan, I have what I like to call a throwaway take. It's one that's just, you know, off the cuff, haven't put any thought into it, which honestly is not every single one of my takes, believe it or not.
It's about 85% of
mine. No. Some of them have some real thought. Most of them are off the cuff throwaway takes. It's true. But in real time, I'm like, huh, the relationship with Brady, is that the kind of thing that can screw everything up and blow up in my face as someone who doesn't just think ownership's going to make the pick, wants ownership to make the pick? We'll get to that coming up. Jeremy Fowler wrote something interesting at ESPN. Peter Schrager echoed it. I say echoed it. Schrager actually might have said it first. But Schrager had a similar report yesterday on the McAfee show. So we'll get to all that coming up. Tom Brady and his Michigan connection. Is it going to screw everything up for the Patriots at three? For those of us who want Drake May, and there's a lot of you out there, you can vote. At Jones and Mego, you're on the clock at three. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels are gone. What's your decision? 54% want May. That's with me. 24% want a trade. That's with Arcan. 18% want Harrison, even though only 27% of wide receivers get a second contract in the first round over the last 20 years. And J.J. McCarthy's at 5%. It's our big question of the day. You can vote there. You can also weigh in on the phones. 617-779-7937. Before we get to Fowler and Schrager, a couple of texts here. 37937. You guys all know the number. Is this the same Jones who was all up in arms because he believed the Patriots aren't making phone calls to check in on free agents, but now he's upset they're taking calls on the pick? Why not at least take the calls? No, I'm okay with taking the calls. But if you're taking the calls, you're just not sold on Drake May. It's a fair point. I wanted them to call on free agents, but you would shut it down if you were completely sold on Drake May or Jaden Daniels or whomever, J.J. McCarthy. If you were completely sold, you go, thanks, but no thanks.
Or at least you'd be telling people that. Yeah.
You know, maybe behind the scenes, still take a phone call or two, but your outward facing statement and would be, we're not doing this.
Right. Yeah, maybe you staying. Take it, but you're not letting the whole league know you're open for business. Right. Elliott Wolff said, we're open for business. You know, Garigian wrote yesterday.
I mean, they say a lot of things.
Fine. That's true.
Cash,
that's
true. They're open for business.
Good point.
Like, who knows? Who knows what the truth is?
Garigian wrote yesterday that they've gotten laughable offers, but they'd consider a good one. That to me was like a trial balloon to get one last offer before the draft. That's what I thought that was. And so, yeah, maybe that's more it, Arcan. Of course, you're going to take the calls and just listen and say, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. What's the harm in that? But they are leaking out there and putting out there that they're open for business. Why? If they're sold on Drake May. The only thing I can come up with is just to keep Washington locked in on Jaden Daniels because you want May to fall into your lap. But that's giving them a lot of credit. That's giving Elliott Wolff and Jonathan and Robin Glazer and Robert Kraft and everybody else over there, it's giving them a lot of credit for big braining this whole thing.
Yeah, I just sort of wonder what the line of demarcation is. What makes an offer a good offer? What changes it from a laughable offer to a good offer? Like, what would be the one thing that you'd have to throw in if you're the Broncos, for example, that would make it a good offer as opposed to a laughable one maybe that they've gotten so far? And I don't know if they've gotten one from the Broncos, but you know what I mean? Like, they clearly don't like anything they've been offered so far. They've publicly said that, but they're still willing to take phone calls. At what point does it swing over into the positive set? You know what I mean?
You're like, starting to get it. I think you started to get that today from Russini.
Yeah.
But it took until the day before the draft to get that. Which, again, speaks to them not being totally sold. I like Drake May. I am, when I say totally sold, I'm not telling you you can't whiff on the pick. Of course you can. You can whiff on any pick. But I like him better than any player in the draft. More text, 37937. Stop it, guys. Obviously, they do their due diligence and field calls. Also, wide receiver contracts have been blowing up. Most don't re-sign.
Lately, I'd agree with that. I mean, it seems that way. There's been a lot of trades,
too.
Yeah.
You do agree with that?
Yeah, I say lately there's been a lot of trades, like guys who have, you know.
Amon Ross St. Brown just signed.
He did. That's true.
He wasn't a first-round pick.
He traded, too, and he wasn't a first-round pick.
He wasn't a first-round pick,
he was like a fourth. So, but yeah, either way, I mean, I do think that there's more a changing market with wide receivers right now when it comes to signing second-year contracts. Like, T. Higgins may not sign a second contract, but he's still a good wide receiver. You know what I mean?
He was a second-round pick, but I get the point.
Sure,
yeah.
You know, so, but it does sort of, sometimes it's the situation that you're in or other things like that.
Let's go to Kurt in Tampa. Go ahead, Kurt.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, this is going to be a hot take. I don't think anyone's thought of this one yet.
I'm going to bet they have, but go ahead.
Hold on, let's hear it.
Yeah.
We'll see. Number one pick, I'd go Marvin Harrison Jr., kind of address the wide receiver issue that we have.
No one said that, you're right.
Later on, the quarterback pick, he got hurt. He was a Heisman candidate, but Jordan Travis. I think you just kind of ride with Brissett for a year. And kind of give him the Jordan Love treatment.
Okay, fine. You know, Hendon Hooker is another analogy, though I think he's going to be back sooner. I like Jordan Travis. I want them to draft a quarterback at three. But, like, if you're asking me about potential day three quarterbacks, you know, not guys who are going to go maybe even a day two quarterback. You know, that after Penix and Nix, who do I like the most out of the top six that we've talked about ad nauseum? Jordan Travis is my answer. I like him more than any other quarterback. That's
okay.
More than Spencer Rattler or guys like that. That doesn't mean I want the Patriots to get him. But I like Jordan Travis. That's the seventh quarterback in the draft. Hot take.
Yeah. Projected sixth round, NFL.com.
Okay, so there
and
you go.
I'll be honest, when he said Marvin Harrison, I was like, well, obviously people have said this. He's the first one I've heard say Jordan Travis.
We've had Jordan Travis feedback before.
We've had a call saying Jordan Travis?
I think so, yes.
I missed
it. I've spoken about
it. Must have been zoning out.
I've spoken about Jordan Travis before on the show.
Right, but actually drafting him, I don't think anyone else has said that.
You think I brought him up out of left field? You think I was just like, hey, let's talk about Jordan Travis today? No, I remember, I think we reacted to a call on that, yeah.
Okay.
JP's in North Providence. Go ahead, JP.
Must have been sick that day with the norovirus.
JP?
Hi, JP.
Jones, I can.
Yo.
Jones, quick Tatum question before I do a Patriots conspiracy. If Tatum doesn't come out tough tonight, can we call him Mashed Potatoes instead of Tatus for my old nickname?
Ooh, Arcan, what did you want to nickname him, Arcan? This is years ago.
Mine was Tasty Cakes.
What a terrible nickname. What I wanted to do, JP, I'm going to put you back on hold for a moment, but I promise I'll go to you. What I wanted to do, because
a tater salad?
This isn't, no. No.
Something like that.
I wanted to do Tatum Tots.
Tatum Tots, that's right. Yeah.
So look, this is my idea. This is true. Do you remember Pasta? Remember Pasta?
Absolutely.
My idea.
That was your thing.
And I'm not saying like I brought it up and someone stole it. I'm telling you that was
No, you spoke to the person at Stop. What was it? Yeah, Stop and Shop?
Yes, that was legit my idea.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what's up, guys?
My idea also was Tatum Tots. I don't know why that went nowhere. Tatum Tots was another one, another brainchild of mine many years ago. Arcam wanted Tasty Cakes.
Yeah, Tasty Cakes, Tatum.
Tatum Tots. Those things would be selling.
Tatum's Tasty Cakes.
Selling like hotcakes. But
not
no.
Great. Like Tasty Cakes.
Yes, that's true, like Tasty Cakes. But no, he'd be a lump of potatoes. You're right. Can you pot JP back up on line four? Go ahead, JP.
Quick conspiracy.
Okay.
Justin Fields is not that much worse than these guys. Nobody knows what we're doing. You pick up the phone, call Pittsburgh. They've already done it. Pittsburgh's not picking up that last year of the contract. You throw him a fourth-round pick and some cash. Take Fields, draft Harrison, go get the tackle. Instant offense.
Okay, JP. Love conspiracy theories. I don't see that one happening, but
they wouldn't do it when they could get him for a sixth round pick.
Thank you. But if they can get Justin Fields, I personally am still interested. It doesn't seem like the league is. Doesn't seem like the Patriots are. But if you're telling me that's in play, I'm still interested. I don't think that's in play. Let me hear Pete Schrager on the McAfee show yesterday. I'll read you something on the backside here from Jeremy Fowler, but this was, again, something I just kind of said in passing yesterday. Apparently, there's some actual smoke to this.
Does Mr. Brady make a call and say, hey, guys, this Michigan kid, you know, I'll tell you what, this Michigan kid, he's got what it takes. And I'll tell you, the Michigan mafia starts. I don't think Brady's calling anybody and making anything. But, like, this is what happens 48 hours from the draft. People are like, don't forget the Brady-Michigan tie and Brady and Robert and how tight he is with Kraft. And if Brady really wants to go to bat for McCarthy, does he have a voice in this thing? And I'm like, I don't see it. I think it's Drake May, number three, or someone else trades up to get him. But gosh, if they start getting cute with this thing, this is going to get really interesting. I just, to me, you need a quarterback. Take Drake May. He's 21 years old. Build around him. And let's call.
And he got you covered.
Okay, yeah, be quiet for a second, McAfee. So
McAfee's like gurgling.
Okay, but the take there is Brady could call up Kraft and recommend J.J. McCarthy. I said this yesterday, and Arcan, you kind of blew up my spot on ownership making the pick. You're like, well, yeah, what if they just listen to Brady at the end of the day? And
good, you listen to him now, not 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
Thanks,
never
Robert.
Make that
good job.
Yeah, great point, Ryan, but now they owe him one in 6-12 days coming up, and they're making a bunch of money off of it because it's gross, and that's what they're doing, so now they're listening to Brady again. And so, okay, what if that happens? What if that's what's going on? Brady picks up the phone, and he goes, Robert, take J.J. Take J.J. at number three.
Do it.
I won't let you down. Like, I could see that happening. That's a flaw in my plan, but that's still ownership getting a quarterback, and I'll still attach it to ownership, and I'll blame them if and when McCarthy blows.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, that's my fear. That's why I don't like the idea of ownership doing this and being this involved in it, because they'll make a decision on a whim like that. They won't listen to their football people. They won't watch the tape. They won't do anything. They'll just have Tom Brady walk in and bat his eyelashes at him and be like, oh, Tom, of course, we'll do whatever you want. You know everything. You're
Tom
the best.
Tom Brady deserves more.
let's just do whatever he says. I mean, come on. That's not out of the question. It really isn't that they would just be swayed at the very last second by Tom Brady and the magic of Tom Brady. Let's get that magic back.
Now, look, pasta, I got full credit for that idea. I think Schrager and Jeremy Fowler stole my take yesterday. Here's Fowler. Common sense says the Patriots need a quarterback, a team source told me. My sense, after asking around to several sources inside the Patriots building, have Daniels rated ahead of North Carolina's Drake May in that pecking order, but they still like May's upside, which again is what Arcan keeps talking about. It's like, oh, they love May, but they prefer Daniels. So how much do you love May? And by the way, this I know a lot of people have like aggregated this today. Oh, Jeremy Fowler wrote the order of the quarterbacks. Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy. He told us that last week. So that was a little bit of breaking news there on Jones and Mego last week. That is picking up steam here this week. McCarthy would fall somewhere after that. Though I was reminded Tuesday night not to totally discount Robert Kraft's affinity for Tom Brady, who might see shades of himself in McCarthy, a fellow Michigan product. The Patriots could trade back and acquire McCarthy with a later pick. I like how Andy Hart put it on Twitter. Good. If he sees shades of himself, you can take him at 199. You don't need to take him at pick number three. I agree with Andy Hart on that one. Let's take Drake May at number three. Robert, go ahead and listen to Tom Brady. Field your phone calls from Tom Brady. Do not cave to Brady on this pick.
I hope you don't. And even though I do appreciate J.J. McCarthy and the whole, you know, back in the day with Teddy Bruschi and Willie McGinnis and Roman Pfeiffer and all those great Patriots who played on the team before he was even born, which just makes it all the better, I think. But yeah, I mean, listen, if that's something that could possibly sway them, if it's even on the table, then doesn't that just create a big slippery slope that you want no part of? I mean, do you want ownership making these type of calls? What if it doesn't work out with this guy and they bring it back in a couple of years?
Here's
and
why I want
swinging the breeze again.
My answer is yes. Here's why I want ownership making the call. And trust me, I don't want JJ McCarthy, but here's why I want it, because I want to blame them. I know they're involved, and so I just want them to own making the pick. They're making the pick. And Diana Rossini's saying as much. She continues to tweet this today. Here's the latest from Diana Rossini, following up on a tweet from yesterday. The Patriots have yet to award the title of GM to Elliott Wolf, who's running point. And it's shifted to a more collaborative process overseen by Jonathan Kraft. Wickersham tried to tell you this months ago. I kept hammering this home months ago. People are finally getting it. Ownership is allowing the football decision makers to make calls while keeping open a constant line of communication. But make no mistake,
Very big of them, by the way.
Crafts know everything that's going on, as they should. They don't just know everything that's going on. They're pulling the strings.
Yeah.
And so if they pick McCarthy,
but they're allowing them to make, you know.
Just trust me. I'm not going to blame Elliott Wolf for the pick at three. If it sucks, if it's McCarthy or May, I'm blaming ownership. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line here. Ryan has all the latest in trending. And when we come back, I asked Arcan this earlier, but I want to flesh it out a little more. If the Patriots are trading back, let's say they're doing it, how far are you comfortable trading back in the first round? Let's get to that right after track.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Adam Jones. It's not his fault.
Now, we like him. It's not his fault. He is who he is.
Jones and Mego on WEEI.
What about the idea that you could wind up in New England playing for the Patriots?
Mm-hmm. So much honor and respect to be able to be in that position, just with the history that's been on display for these past years, and growing up and seeing all the success. And I met with Mr. Kraft, and just like the coolest, smoothest guy I've met in a long time, and just being able to know that you're in good hands when the Kraft family's running that whole thing. And obviously Coach Mayo has been a part of that success over the years, and what he's building is a feeling that I got when I first stepped onto Michigan is the sense of urgency to rebuild the culture, rebuild, this team to where they want to get to and where they were. Bringing so many guys back like Matthew Slater, Danny Amendola, just you could tell that they're, on the path to success, and they're doing it the right way.
That was JJ McCarthy on the Schefter podcast yesterday. Given the opportunity to get down on it, he might. The way he's just complimenting and sucking up to Robert Kraft there, it's embarrassing. So is he doing that with every single owner? I have no idea. I didn't listen to the full podcast. Are other quarterbacks meeting with Robert Kraft? I don't know. So that gave me pause yesterday when I'm like, ah, crap. JJ McCarthy met with Kraft, but maybe every quarterback does that. I hope and pray every quarterback does that. He also gave a little bit of news.
Like John Mara.
Yeah.
Like the good old days with Phil Simms and
exactly
Lawrence Taylor.
He did give a little bit of news in there, which we reacted to yesterday. Danny Amendola's back, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Back in the fold.
You rip Bill, you get a job here. It's the way it works.
He ripped him the most. I mean, he was probably the MVP of the former players.
After Kraft?
Yeah.
After Kraft, Amendola ripped Bill more than anyone.
Yeah.
1,000%. That'll get you a job here,
apparently. I like the cut of his jib. Bring him in.
So, again, that's J.J. McCarthy from yesterday. Arcan, I asked you this earlier. Let's circle back to it. How far back are you comfortable trading? If you're the Patriots,
I'm comfortable going out of the top 10, but not very far out. I'd say probably the Vegas pick is as far back as I'd go.
13.
If Vegas was into it, then I would go there.
And ideally, you like 11 Minnesota because you're getting 11 and 20.
Yes, I'd prefer that. I'd prefer that to probably what Denver could offer, too. The thing is, Minnesota and Vegas both have players that I'd really like the Patriots to pick up. And I know earlier, Jones, you said, well, if you're Justin Jefferson with no quarterback, I'd pick a quarterback still. Justin Jefferson would be part of the trade, but then I'd use that 11th pick or whatever it is to take Penn. Or to take Knicks or whoever's there, but I wouldn't let you go too much further than that.
But hang on, but the Raiders could do that.
They could do that, yeah. But if they love Drake May, then they'll go and try and get Drake May. I'm saying I'm evaluating them differently from how they are.
No, I get it. I'm just saying
I'd rather have Jefferson and Knicks than Drake May and
but the Raiders
Kendrick Bourne or whoever it is.
But the Raiders and the Vikings are telling you, hey, take our wide receiver and go take another quarterback. We want this quarterback.
Right.
And now you're just swapping places with them. Now you're the Raiders or the Vikings. I don't want to be the Raiders or the Vikings. I want a franchise quarterback, would be my retort. But to play out the exercise, if they're trading back, it's done. They're doing it. It's been decided. I'd go to the Giants. I wouldn't go any farther than that. I'm okay with 6. I want one of those receivers if they're trading back. Okay? Maybe Harrison's in play at 5 or 6 if quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. I like Neighbors better than Harrison anyway, so that might be perfect to get Malik Neighbors at 6. Worst case scenario, you're getting Roma Dunze there. I would not move past 6. If you're telling me they're traded, it's decided, it's done, I would not go lower than the Giants. I don't want the Vikings 2 picks. I don't want the Broncos pick at 12. I don't want the Raiders pick at 13. You guys can jump in on this. By the way, all of our draft coverage here on WEEI is brought to you by McFarland Energy, Greater Boston, and Cape Cod's choice for home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC product and services at McFarlandEnergy.com. It's also brought to you by Chock Full of Nuts Coffee and by McCormick Spices. Let's get to some phone calls here. We have David in Springfield waiting very patiently. Go ahead, David.
Yeah. Hey, guys. You know, as far as Belichick go, I mean, Belichick was coaching before he came to the Patriots. He hadn't won a championship.
Correct.
Okay. So Tom Brady
not as a head coach.
Tom Brady was a good quarterback. And
Cosine.
Belichick is not a coach. I mean, you can take a 24-year-old rat today that knows football, and he cannot coach Belichick.
Okay, so David, let's expedite this a little bit.
What about a 42-year-old radio host?
They made the right decision to move on from Bill. Agree. Like, as much as I think the Krafts have been ripping Bill and it's embarrassing.
I like that call.
I think they made the right decision to move on from Bill, and I agree. I think there's a lot of coordinators, young coordinators, especially on the offensive side of the ball, who can coach better in today's NFL. I believe that, and I think the league believes that. So I think the way the Krafts have gone about it is dirty. And, like, the one, it's hilarious because we would ask Curran constantly during the year just to choose one of the people we talk to. Orlovsky, same thing. Why can't they fire Bill in season? Oh, do you know the story it would be? What, they're going to do Bill dirty? You think they're going to do that?
That would have been much better than this.
It'd be so much cleaner.
It would have been way better. Better for him, too. It would have been way better for him. He would have had this much more time to be able to interview and talk to other teams and tell everybody what he wanted to do. It would have been much better for
Firing
everyone.
Bill in season. Short term would have been embarrassing for like a day or two. All they've done is rip him and stab him in the back since and drag his name through the mud. It's just as bad in that way. In fact, it has more legs. Number two, it would have given him more time to actually interview and line up other coordinators and coaches and think about moving on and interviewing people besides Gerard.
It would have given the Krafts more time to call all the other owners and say, don't hire him.
Fine. That's the other thing. And it would have given Bill more time to combat Kraft bad-mouthing him or whatever else.
True.
That actually would have been good for Bill to fire him in season. But yeah. I was told they're not going to do that because they're not going to be mean to Bill and they're not going to drag his name through the mud.
Wrong. I believe we called it a mercy killing at the time. Remember? We did, because not only would you be giving him more time to plan his next step, you wouldn't force him to have to go through with the rest of this awful season that they had last year, which, by the way, was his fault. It's not like it wasn't his fault that they had an awful season, but you could at the very least say, all right, you know, it started off poorly, we fired him, and the interim coach lost the last however many games. Instead, you're out there in a blizzard not scoring any points against the Jets. Like, that's how he finished his career. Like, that was honestly, I mean, the longer that season went on, the sadder it got.
Nope.
It would have been a mercy killing.
Would have been.
It would have been more humane to do that.
Belichick was coaching before he came to the Patriots.
It's true. He was. He did, not after, though.
He did win Super Bowls, not as a head coach. He'll let you know. You can see the boat floating around when he's out chasing tail on Nantucket.
He's going to be busy now.
Getting strange on the ring camera.
Bill's got a whole media thing going on.
So I was just
going
to bring this up.
Yeah.
So a couple of items here. This is Andrew Marchand. Where is he now?
The Athletic.
Thank you. No longer at the New York Post. A new wrinkle to the Manning cast, Bill Belichick, is expected to be a regular recurring part of the show on Monday Night Football this season. They don't have recurring guests, so he'll be a recurring guest. It won't be every single week. He's also potentially doing a podcast, which just, oh boy, I can only imagine what that's about. 1930s Navy football and like the invention of the forward pass.
I can't wait for him to read like a Dude Wipes ad. Dude Wipes. When you got a wipe.
Yeah.
When you got, feels good when you wipe.
When you got booger snots hanging out of your nose. Dude Wipes.
On a hot day, Dude Wipes.
After you've gotten some strange trolling around Nantucket.
Yeah, that's right.
Dude Wipes. He also has a book deal, but he's going to be making a lot of money this year, to your point. You know, he's going to be making seven figures on the book deal. He's going to be well into the millions, quote unquote, on the deal with Omaha. And so expect ESPN to go soft on Bill Belichick, which, if that happens to you,
gross.
Dude Wipes. There's also this from Mike Florio. He was writing about the Cowboys, and he's been ripping Jerry Jones, just ripping Jerry Jones. He says, my theory on Jerry Jones claims that he's all in when it comes to keeping the Cowboys as prominent and as profitable as possible. Jones is a salesman who dangles his supposedly insatiable desire to win a Super Bowl as a way to keep customers feeding money into the jukebox. They're
not
all
like
in.
Dangles.
They're all in. They've been all in. They'll be all in. But he says they're not really all in. And then after the season, they will be all in on hiring Bill Belichick.
Eh. I want to believe that, but I wanted to believe it last offseason. Last offseason, you got humiliated in the wild card round, and you stuck with him for another year. So it's hard for me to believe this.
Fair, but Mike McCarthy's contract will be up. Speaking of which, so Jerry wouldn't have to pay two coaches. Speaking of which, Adam Schefter tweeted earlier today, Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy headed into the last year of his contract. He's hired agent Don Yee to represent him.
Good for Don Yee.
Yee represents Jim Harbaugh, who got a good deal from the Chargers. I don't know the figures. Sean Payton, getting $20-plus million a year, reportedly,
he got a good deal
in
we
Denver,
that, yeah.
And Tom Brady, amongst others.
Got a good deal from Fox that he's not going to honor now, I guess.
So, no. So McCarthy is discussing a comeback. Discussing his next contract, rather. And is that a sign he's out in Dallas? Is that a sign Bill could be coming in? In the meantime, he's working for Omaha Productions and making a lot of money in the meantime. Never mind the sponsorship deals from Dude Wipes and everywhere else. Which, by the way, if you're looking to sponsor anything, Dude Wipes, wide open. Wide open here on Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Mego for Dude Wipes.
Got a bad case of the Mountain Doo-Doos.
Yes.
It's not just for the fellas. Ladies.
Lady wipes. Is that a thing? That's got to be a thing.
I'd imagine it's called something else, but yeah, it's got to be a thing. Lady wipes. Listen up, ladies.
Listen up, ladies.
Did that code red get called a little too early?
Look, there's a lot of gross stuff happening to your body. Lady wipes.
Someone's got to wipe it.
Meanwhile. This is all because of John Henry's moldy balls.
But you can get yours feeling fresh as a daisy with Dude Wipes.
This is this is like a Shark Tank idea we got going on.
You're listening back there, sales?
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah. Get on the
practically
horn there.
Gifting you this one.
Get on the horn. Meanwhile, let's try to get this thing back on the rails. Here's Tommy Curran on what he's hearing on a potential trade back. This was yesterday on Gresh and Fourier here on WEEI. If you missed any of it, you can check it out on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Use the rewind feature. We'll talk to Curran on Friday. Here's what he said.
I think that the deal would have to be exorbitant and unprecedented for the Patriots to consider trading down. Does that happen? I can't get into the minds of the Raiders or the Vikings or the Broncos, but I can tell you that the expectation is so highly set that I would say that the chance of it happening is remote.
Okay, remote. I like that word. And I hope they're locked in on Drake May at 3. You can continue to vote at Jones and Mego on Twitter. You can also dial us up on the phone, 617-779-7937. Pretty simple for you, since it's our last full show before the draft. We got day baseball tomorrow, Red Sox and Guardians here on WEEI. You're on the clock at 3. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, gone. What's your decision? Drake May, 54%. Trade, 23%. Marvin Harrison, 18%. J.J. McCarthy, 5%. You continue to vote there. We'll get to your feedback on this coming up. I also want to get to the market for some other needs for the Patriots. Tackle, wide receiver, how do they address them? What direction is that market going? We'll get to it coming up. Meanwhile, Arkan, let's react to two stories here quick. We'll get to the Red Sox in a moment. We talked to Alex Cora about that. On the Bruins, have you seen these lineup changes for the Bruins?
Yes.
Okay, so what is it again off the top of my head? Lori in, Wotherspoon in, Grizzlick out, Peak is hurt,
yep.
So we knew he was going to be out of the lineup.
Lauko out.
I was going to say, for the forwards, JVR is in, Lauko out.
Yep.
That feels panicky to me.
A little bit. You said, I think it was you in the Twitch, or not in the Twitch, in the Slack, about why is Shattenkirk still there, and I think that's a great question, because he's been brutal, I think, so far.
Grizzlick has been awful, but, like, who's a better player, Grizzlick or Shattenkirk? I'd rather have Grizzlick in the lineup than Shattenkirk, but
I would, too, at
the end of the day, whatever.
Does seem a little bit panicky. I'm not against the idea of Wotherspoon and Laura. I mean, I think that both of those guys can slot in, and I'm not sure how much worse they'd look than what you got, although I did think Peak looked okay as a stay-at-home defender. I mean, he was one of the only guys that was really doing that and letting people
get
behind them. But he's hurt.
So that one's not a choice.
So in that sense, like, I'm okay with that. But, yeah, the Van Riemsdyk move, I mean, that seems a little bit like, okay, we got to really pull the ripcord here.
And I'm curious what that is, too.
Yeah.
Is he going to play in the bottom six? Or are they like, we got to get our top six going. We're putting JVR on one of the top lines. Now you're really shuffling stuff. We're going to find that out. What were the lines this morning, Ryan? Ryan dropped these in earlier. Fluto had these lines. Let me get them, because I was just talking about the lineup changes.
It was Lori skating with Charlie McAvoy. It was
no, right. But those are the pairs. Where was JVR? I didn't see him anywhere on lines. Like, to me, I wonder if he's going into the top six. The whole thing feels panicky. You lost one game. And you lost one game because you played your stupid backup goalie. So stick with what you're doing. This feels panicky to me. Obviously, someone had to go into the lineup for Peak. Wotherspoon seemed like a one-for-one. The other moves feel panicky. So you can weigh in on that. Again, 617-779-7937. Also, the latest on the Red Sox, Brian Bello to the IL. It sounds like it's going to be short-term, is what Alex Cora told us. We'll see. When's Whitlock coming back? When's Pivetta coming back? We know Cassis is out for a long time. Story is done for the year. My positive takes on the Red Sox, Arkan, are going up in smoke. They're going to need to make outside additions. And Alex Cora told us it's early in the year to start having those discussions. But when asked about ownership committing to this team and investing in this team, he wouldn't really engage. He was very diplomatic. Basically said, well, I'm just the manager here. I just work here.
Yeah, and I don't blame him for thinking that way, and that is the diplomatic way of saying, what do you guys think? I mean, they wouldn't do anything in the offseason. Now, all of a sudden, in the in-season, they're going to start going crazy, making moves, and trying to help the team. Like, unlikely. Now it's different. You're not bringing on salary in the same way. I guess you could, but it's not really that type of thing. And it's so early in the season that none of these teams are going to be looking to trade any of their players. They're trying to figure out what they have right now. Teams that aren't ravaged with injuries, which there are only a few, they're not about to start trading anybody of value. That's not going to happen in April, maybe in June, but I think you just got to ride this out. There's no real quick fix for it.
Okay, so you can jump in on the Red Sox, you can jump in on the Bruins. We'll continue talking Patriots draft as well. Some other needs for the Pats beyond just quarterback. We've broken that down. How do they address them? Where can they get some of these players in the draft? They do need a tackle. It's not top of my list. They definitely need some wide receivers. How are they going to get them? What does the market look like? We'll get to that with all your phone calls next.
Rubenstein Law Studios, 1-800-BOS-LEGAL. This is WEEI.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How young? So young.
We're young at heart. We're TikToking. We're FaceTiming. We're doing all that cool stuff.
Gather around the radio, fellow kids. It's Jones and Mego with Arcan.
I get the Spice Channel. No biggie. Come over.
On WEEI.
If you're trading for Brandon Ayuk, then you know that a deal is coming. And actually, like, I don't know if a deal is going to get done. I know the 49ers would like it. I know there are definitely other teams interested in paying some draft capital. I know the 49ers would like a one. I don't know that another team is there yet. But I think the main thing is the market is getting more defined by the day. Yeah, the Devontae Smith deal, that's $25 million per year in new money. This one will probably, for the first 3 years, end up at around $28 per year in new money over the first 3 years. The market is pretty well defined if the 49ers are able to get done a Brandon Ayuk deal. It helps.
That was Ian Rappaport on the McAfee Show, sponsored by Dude Waves. Soon to be sponsoring Bill Belichick's podcast. The Twitch chat likes the Dude Wipes idea. I mean, it's very comical to me for Bill to read. I mean, Arcan made a great point. Bill having to do reads for a podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, that is funny.
No matter what the sponsor is, like, we're not picking on Dude. Whoever it is going to be funny. No matter what he's reading an ad for, will be funny.
No, it's going to be great.
Yeah. Twitch had this one.
This is some
Dude Wipes.
So there you go. Rap Sheet is talking about Ayuk. Yesterday, Mike Silver wrote a piece that the 49ers won a first-round pick. And we discussed this yesterday late in the show, Arcan. We're like, well, is that good or bad for the Pats? They're not going to give up three for Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
34 is not a first-round pick. It's close, but it's not. So does that put the Patriots on the outside looking in? Are the Niners just posturing? Are they really going to get a first-round pick for him, or do they just want one, which means they'll take a high second? We can play that out. Rappaport also said, separately there, and he said this last night as well on the NFL Network, the Niners probably aren't going to be the team that's going to pay him the most money.
Yeah, probably not.
So if that's really true, if the Niners are saying, we want you, but we're going to make you take less, then he's going to move. He wants a new contract. And I think he wants big money. And you saw what St. Brown got paid.
Yep.
You know, we've seen what some of these wide receiver contracts have done. And we brought this up earlier in the show based on wide receivers not hitting their second contract.
And Ayuk responded to that on Instagram, to the St. Brown thing.
Oh, the same
posted a video of him, like, dancing around, like, I'm getting paid. Yeah,
I thought you were saying he responded to the Get Up tweet from Schefter this morning. I'm sorry. No, I did see that, where he was dancing around on Instagram, Antonio Brown style. So,
and he's only got one more year, right?
Yeah. I mean,
Ayuk?
I think there's a chance he gets traded tomorrow.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he's getting traded here. Like, I think a lot of Patriots fans are like, ooh, he's getting traded. Again, answer the question for me. And I know what Tommy Curran has said. Tommy Curran has said, well, they have money to spend, so they're going to spend it. I don't believe that. I think the money they're not spending, they're paying to Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick's still getting $25 million. And so they're not going to turn around and give a big, fat, giant contract to Brandon Ayuk. They're not going to. If they do, I'll applaud them. I'd love it. Same with A.J. Brown, same with T. Higgins. Why would the Patriots be that team? You have to give up the pick, call it 34, and a contract. I'll believe that when I see it. I don't believe it. But I now believe he's moving. If the Niners are openly putting out there, we want you to take less, we're not going to give you the biggest deal, they're going to trade him because he's going to want a big deal.
I'd agree with that. And I think that, you know, because there's other names out there that could potentially be on the trade block, the Niners can wait. You know, they're not in any rush. They can sort of put it out there like, this is what we're going to do. There's probably going to be some other guys out there that are going to get traded or moved. And if we get the offer that we like, then we'll take it. We want a first-round pick. He's not worth a first-round pick, Brandon Ayuk, I don't think. He's a good player, but I don't think he's worth that.
Is he worth 34?
Yeah, probably.
Well, then again, what's the difference?
I mean, I think first-round pick, there's a connotation that sort of comes with that, I think. And if you say it's a second second-round pick, even if it's a high one. It's just that's a different negotiating point to start at. So I think that's sort of what they're looking for. I don't think they're expecting that, especially not with Brown and Higgins and these other guys sort of floating around there on the trade block too. I just think that it's less likely then that you're going to get some real bidding war for Brandon Ayuk. But if you do, great. And if the Patriots are part of it, also great. I think they should be in on all three of those guys and try and, at the very least, to land one of them.
I think
but they don't.
They
don't value wide receivers that way. And that wasn't just the Belichick thing. I think that's continuing now with this new regime.
So let's see. It definitely was not a Belichick thing. True. So far, they have not valued a wide receiver. That's definitely true. But let's see if that changes. I don't think they're going to be in on guys like Ayuk. I hope they are. A couple of items here. Jeremy Fowler, ESPN. Should New England select a quarterback at 3? Don't be surprised if it seriously considers a wide receiver at 34, assuming the options it likes are available. The Patriots could swing a trade for a wide receiver. Would it be shocking if they didn't come out of the draft with a pass catcher somewhere relatively high? Okay, so he's saying they could make a trade, but even still, they're going to take a wide receiver highly in the draft. Russini had more on this. Her and Chad Graff at The Athletic. Day 2 options for the Pats. Left tackle and wide receiver are expected to be the top 2 spots they target with their 2 selections Friday night. The question is which comes first. As the Patriots shift to a zone running scheme, they'd like an athletic left tackle who can move well rather than be the kind of mauler they've had in the past. Fortunately for them, there are several such options available on day 2.
They also don't want to have to adjust their toilets anymore.
Nope, that's true. Trent Brown was filling those up and not exactly a mobile left tackle. True. More of a mauler.
Save some money on those special toilets.
A mauler to defenses and toilets as well. At wide receiver, New England is focused on an outside wide receiver more than a slot. I don't love that answer. And I think I know the logic. The logic is, well, they have Pop Douglas and they have other guys who can play in the slot.
Kendrick Bourne
can play there. But I don't love focusing on purely an outside receiver. I'd like a guy who can play in the slot, play outside, move around the formation.
Yeah, or a slot receiver who's, I don't know, better than Pop Douglas maybe. Like, is that such a crazy thing to want?
Thank you.
Come on.
The problem for them, unlike offensive tackle, where there are a few good athletes on day 2, where there are a few good athletes on day 2, is that a lot of receivers projected to go on day 2 project best for the slot. That could force them to prioritize wide receiver, perhaps someone like Xavier Leggett or Keon Coleman. Leggett I don't like, Coleman I love, at number 34, and wait on an offensive tackle until round 3. One more item, Arkan, and then I'll get your thoughts on it. This is Daniel Jeremiah. Let me get the tweet. Daniel Jeremiah, earlier today, whose draft coverage I love and value. He says that, to summarize my last 5 phone calls, this is earlier today, everyone is moving up for an offensive tackle. So what should they take at 34? They need a receiver. I don't think they're trading 34 for Ayuk or Higgins or A.J. Brown or anyone like that. I want the receiver at 34. But is it possible? Wide receiver is deeper and there's more scarcity and they need to take the tackle at 34 or, you know, trade up into the 20s. To secure a tackle because they may not be available after that point.
No, I think that you need to go with the not blue chip wide receivers because you're not picking that at 34, but there's still going to be a bunch of guys at the end there like Worthy and Mitchell, Coleman, who you mentioned, the kid from Georgia who's a slot receiver, but he's still, you know, McConkey, who's still a good prospect. And there's a couple other guys too, but I just think that, you know, this is looking like, and maybe it won't be because you never really know, but it's looking like it's going to be a very, very good wide receiver draft. It's just very deep. There's guys, you know, the beginning and the end of the round.
Okay, but isn't that a reason to take the tackle at 34? Like, I want the wide receiver at 34.
I think that there's going to be a run on them in those areas. I think at the beginning of the first round and at the end of the first round, you're going to see a run on wide receivers. And once they're all gone, they're gone. So I'd rather be in on those runs. Gross. I'd rather be in on those
wipes.
Runs. Dude wipes. Then get the tackle later on than to miss out on the first round guys or even the early second round guys just because that's what you need.
Here's my hope. Everybody's moving up for a tackle. A bunch of tackles go in the 20s. It pushes a receiver down to you at 34.
Or something like that would be great too.
That's my hope.
Yeah.
And so do you like Adonai Mitchell? Do you like Xavier Worthy? Do you like, I mean, maybe even Brian, I don't think Brian Thomas is going to fall all the way down to 34. Maybe you like Brian Thomas and he's falling. You know, maybe it's, like I said, I like Keon Coleman. And I see Keon Coleman mocked to the Patriots a lot. I like him. I know he didn't run a great 40 time. If you want to get into, like, nerdy next-gen stats, you know, separation and things like that, despite running a 4.6 or whatever he ran, tons of separation at Florida State, I like him. I don't like Xavier Leggett, but maybe that's a name you like. Hopefully that pushes somebody down to pick 34.
Yeah. Did you mention Wilson? I was just checking there. For Michigan, Roman Wilson?
I don't think he's – you think he's in play at 34?
I think he could be.
So that's a date. That's a third-round type of receiver that I like. Like, if you're passing on a receiver at 34 and taking a tackle because everybody else is taking a tackle and you don't mm-hmm. want to miss out, Roman Wilson, after that next tier of guys, all the names we mentioned, I would hope to get him at 60, whatever they're picking,
yeah.
six,
well,
five.
Well, you pick J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, God.
No.
Brian just gave you a thumbs up. You were thinking the same thing? Tandem.
Something to think about. That's the only way I'd ever want him.
Yeah, let's run back the Michigan passing game. Let's do that. Yeah. Let's run that back. It was so awesome in college. I know they won the title. They didn't win because of their passing game. Let's run back the Michigan passing game. Like, LSU I would get. You know, you can get Neighbors. And, that's probably not realistic. You could somehow get Thomas and Jaden Daniels. Or I would even get, like, Drake May and Tez Walker to a degree. Let's run the Michigan passing game back. Let's do that.
If you have McCarthy.
In the NFL.
I'd be all right bringing in someone he's comfortable with.
I like Roman Wilson. I don't want – I'm not – if they draft J.J. McCarthy, I'm out on Roman Wilson. I'm out. And I like him. But I'm out. I'm not pairing the Michigan offense in the NFL.
All right.
Draft Blake Corum.
That was the only other wide receiver I could think of. That would even be in the mix there. And the only reason I'd ever even consider him is if you already drafted J.J. McCarthy.
617-779-7937. Coleman's 40 is like a 4.7. Roba in the Twitch chat. I just said a 4.6. I was going off the top of my head. I thought it was 4.6 something. You know who ran a slow 40 last year and had tons of separation on all the next-gen stats? Puka Nacua. So to me, I like Keon Coleman. That's who I like out of that second tier of receivers after, call it, Brian Thomas Jr. I like him more than any other receiver.
Did you say Poopa? Dude wipes.
Hashtag dude wipes. Or in the case of Mego, lady wipes. 617-779-7937. You can dial us up here on Jones and Mego. No Mego today. Arcand sticking with us as always. We'll talk to Brian Scalabrine at 4:30. Get some thoughts on game two tonight at TD Garden. And we'll circle back to our big question of the day. You're on the clock at pick three. What are you doing? That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.